Alright, welcome back everybody. I'm your host Amos Ridley and you are listening to Truth Stream Oasis, an oasis in the middle of the desert of confusion out there with all the whirlwind of events going on and the whirlwind of information, all the conspiracies and lies that are entangling people in a web of disillusionment. That's why I'm doing this podcast today. I'm calling it Seized by Intrigue, Conspiracy in the Bible. We are going to focus on God's Word because that's our anchor, that's our rock, that's where we stand. And God says His way is in the whirlwind, and as I have said and I probably will say many times, that I believe that is the test that's coming upon the world, is the end times whirlwind. And if we don't stand in our faith, we're not going to stand at all. After 9/11, when God saved me dramatically, I delved into a lot of research. Was on the internet constantly, did the whole Alex Jones thing with Prison Planet. Did my own research, and it caused me a lot of oppression. Caused a lot of fear. And there were times where, you know, I'd wake up in the middle of the night, I'd have terrible nightmares. Just was walking around just feeling like, man, like there was a weight on my chest. It was like, it made me paranoid, made me think that there was a conspiracy behind every rock and bush. And maybe there is. Or maybe there's not. The issue is that we don't know, and that's where we're at, is we're not sure what is and what isn't. We're not sure what's black or what's white, what's up or down, left or right, and it's a scary feeling, because our trust has been broken, and I feel a huge burden on my chest for the people that are getting caught up in this, because I've been there and God has rescued me and is continuing to rescue me from this. We need to hang in there, people. I mean, it's getting serious. I don't even know how to say that. It's just getting serious. It's getting real serious. And, of course, there's always going to be those people out there that have no idea what's going on. They're still in that mindset, that perception that you have when you're asleep, living the American dream. And they're not privy to any of this. Then you have the people that are waking up and they're seeking the truth. And Satan's out there, and he's got doors that are leading to places, making people think that they have found the truth. But they're just dead ends. They're like the oubliettes in, if you've ever watched The Labyrinth with David Bowie. I wouldn't recommend watching that movie. It's kind of crazy. But for those of you that have seen it, you probably know what I'm talking about. It's dead ends. So we're going to jump right into this today. We're going to focus on God's Word, because God's Word is truth. It's honey from the rock. It's pure living water. It leads to life. It leads to sanity. And it leads out of the desert into a place of understanding where there's no fear. And hopefully that's where I want to help people to get. So we're going to jump right into this. We're going to focus on a lot of scripture. And that's a good thing. It's a very good thing. I make no apologies for being a Christian. God saved me. Saved me in a dramatic way. And those that know what I'm talking about. Make no apologies for that. I'm putting it out there. And, you know, I want to give it away. I've been freely given something, and I'm freely giving this away. So let those who have ears to hear let them listen, and add to their learning. And those who don't want to listen, there's nothing I can do. My heart goes out to you. Let's get this started. I wanted to focus in on the word intrigue in the Bible. And I'm going to read a couple sets of verses here from Daniel, from the book of Daniel. Because intrigue is curiosity. And curiosity killed the cat. Remember that. Curiosity killed the cat. Okay. So that might sound a little stupid. Why is this guy on this podcast repeating curiosity killed the cat? We're going to find out because I think this is what it's all about. In the book of Daniel, chapter 8, verses 23, 24, and 25, it says, in the latter part of their reign, when rebels have become completely wicked. Sound familiar? There's a lot of rebellion going on. Whether it's for good, bad, right, wrong, it's not the issue. There's a lot of rebellion going on, a lot of rebellion against authority. People are questioning everything. When rebels have become completely wicked, it says a stern-faced king, a master of intrigue, will arise. A master of intrigue, a master of curiosity. A master of curiosity who leaves little breadcrumb trails, and people follow it, and it leads right into the trap. A master of intrigue will arise. He will become very strong, but not by his own power. He will cause astounding devastation, and will succeed in whatever he does. He will destroy the mighty men and the holy people. He will cause deceit to prosper. Deceit is going to prosper in his reign. And he will consider himself superior. And when they feel secure, he will destroy many and take his stand against the prince of princes. Who's that? Oh yeah. Oh yeah. That's our Savior. That's Christ. Awesome. The prince of princes. Yet he will be destroyed, but not by human power. Okay. So we have in that, the thing that I wanted to focus on was that master of intrigue, curiosity. Daniel 11, verse 20 and 21. His successor will send out a tax collector to maintain the royal splendor. Yummy, luxury, because that's what they love. In a few years, however, he will be destroyed, yet not in anger or in battle. He will be succeeded by a contemptible person who has not been given the honor of royalty. He will invade the kingdom when its people feel secure, and he will seize it through intrigue. So there we have a mention of intrigue again. It all has to do with these conspiracies. Man, when you're researching this stuff, you're like, wow, look at all this stuff that I'm learning. Man, I didn't know all this stuff was down there. And you're digging and you're digging and you're finding something new. It's the same lie as it was in the Garden of Eden. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It was the same thing. Ooh, your eyes will be opened. You know? Look at this hidden knowledge. Look what you know. And all these other people don't know it. You're enlightened. You're being illuminated. You know? And I know there's a lot of good-hearted people out there. And man, they're just seeking the truth. Honest to God, they're just seeking the truth. They just want to know what's going on. But you got to understand, on the other side, there's an enemy who's drawing you into this with another purpose. And it is to disillusion you. To break your trust. So, on one hand, you want to know what's going on. And that's a good thing, because Christ said, let no man deceive you in any way. And that's what you're trying to do. You're trying to get in there and search around and dig it out and see what's going on so you can be protected in your mind and you have a base of understanding to go by. But on the other hand, all the stuff you're finding out is just totally raping your mind and trust So it's kind of like, you know, a catch-22 situation. You're finding stuff out, but at the same time, it's like a virus going into your mind. So be very, very careful, because the rabbit hole is dark, it's deep, and it has no bottom. Because it just goes in circles. It just leads you from one thing to the next, from one evil to the next. And it's not beneficial, and there's no good going to come of it. It's just going to lead you into fear. It's just going to lead you into oppression. And when you are in those states of fear and oppression, you're more susceptible to the enemy. You're sitting there going, oh my gosh, you know, oh look, these people were involved in 9/11. You know, oh, they're spraying chemtrails in the sky. Oh my gosh, they're controlling us through the fluoride in the water. Oh, they're using these medicines and they're doing things to our mind and to our bodies, and we don't know, and they got the biochip, and oh my gosh, they got all these sonic weapons to control people, and they got blue beam technology that can beam stuff into your brain, and oh no, oh no. And what are you actually doing? You're sitting there fulfilling what God said in Revelation. He said, they would say, who is like the beast? Who can make war against the beast? It's in a subtle way, you know, we're actually falling into that trap of building Satan and his system up. Like it's some huge mountain and some huge enemy. Now, we do want to take the enemy seriously, but at the same time, you don't want to build it up, you know, to where you're sitting there fearing the crap out of it and making a mountain out of it to where, you know, you're actually saying, wow, it's so awesome. So, you know, I just wanted to make that point as well. So, you know, let's not worship the beast. We worship God. We fear God alone. Okay? And don't be pulled into this stuff. Yeah, it's out there, okay? It is out there. Okay, we proved it. You know, you can go on the internet, there's multiple sites, and they'll go around and around and around. But one thing is that I want to point out is that you don't know. You don't know for sure. So, you know, you might be fearing things that aren't even real. And it's all an information war, you know? It's about knowledge. And, you know, what if the governments don't have half of the stuff that they're telling us they have? You know? Or what if they don't have all these powers? What if the power is just in Hollywood and making the movies? You know? Or putting this information out there just so that you think they have these powers. There's no difference between whether they do have it or whether you think they have it. Because if you think they have it, then you're afraid. And you believe it. So it doesn't really matter whether they have it or not. They're still getting you to cower in fear because of it. So let's focus on the Lord, because, you know, we know this stuff is out there, but we want to delve into it like a... you know, we're diving into a pool and drown in it, okay? We know that the enemy, Satan, pulls people in through curiosity. It's a fact of life. And once you get sucked in and you start taking those breadcrumbs, you start getting addicted to it. You need more and more and more. And pretty soon you're not satisfied even with living life or reading the Bible or anything. You know, I've been there. Maybe I'm putting myself out there, but you know, I got to a point where, like, I couldn't even like read the Bible or listen to like regular Christian stuff anymore because it just wasn't satisfying me. And that's when I started freaking out. I was like, "Oh God, what's wrong with me? You know, your word is awesome, and it used to be so sweet to my taste and to my soul, you know. But pretty soon, I just had to be absorbed up in all this conspiracy stuff because it was that addiction. And that's when you got to start." You know, you got to be honest with yourself where you're at. You know, you got to be dead honest with yourself. So I'm just exhorting and encouraging all you guys out there to, you know, take it light with this stuff. You know, because I'm not the greatest speaker in the world. You know, sometimes I get on a roll and I'm like, you know, I'm communicating this well. Other times I stutter or my thoughts are broken up, but I think you guys know where I'm coming from with this. You know, you go down into that rabbit hole. I mean, it's the whole thing with the Matrix, you know, that lie of the Matrix. Yeah, there was a little bit of truth in it, but it was mixed with arsenic. There was so much poison and so much confusion in those movies, you know, and they're like, follow the white rabbit, follow the white rabbit, you know? And the only thing I know about a white rabbit is a white rabbit replaced Christ and his resurrection with Easter or Ishtar. So I ain't following no white rabbit nowhere, you know, because a white rabbit's not my savior, all right? And knowing all these lies and all this bullcrap is not going to get me anywhere. It's not going to get anybody else anywhere. Because it's the battle is the Lord's. It's his battle. He's going to take care of business. And he can cut it. Because there ain't nobody above him. There's nobody that can say to him, you know, what have you done? He is the Most High God. And he has all power in heaven and earth. And That's how it is. And let me just kick into the next section here, because I'm really determined for this podcast not to be hugely long. But I do want to get through some of these scriptures. So we're going to talk about, or I'm going to show you some scriptures here where conspiracy is talked about in the Bible. Because a lot of people are just like, oh, you conspiracy fanatics, you know. So we're going to at least establish that the Bible does talk about conspiracy and does talk about the kings of the earth and how they do conspire and how the princes get together and there is a conspiracy. Okay, let me start out with Psalm 64. It says, "For the director of music, a psalm of David. Hear me, O God, as I voice my complaint. Protect my life from the threat of the enemy. Hide me from the conspiracy of the wicked, from that noisy crowd of evildoers. They sharpen their tongues like swords, and they aim their words like deadly arrows. They shoot from ambush at the innocent man. They shoot at him suddenly, without fear. They encourage each other in evil plans." Interesting. "They talk about hiding their snares. They say, who will see them? They plot injustice and say, we have devised a perfect plan. Surely the mind and heart of man are cunning. But God will shoot them with arrows. Suddenly they will be struck down. He will turn their own tongues against them and bring them to ruin. All who see them will shake their heads in scorn. All mankind will fear. They will proclaim the works of God and ponder what he has done. Let the righteous rejoice in the Lord and take refuge in him. Let all the upright in heart praise him. Let all the upright in heart praise him." So we got going on here in Psalm 64, the Lord talking about, well, it was written by David, and he was asking God to let him voice his complaint. He was asking God to protect his life from the threat of the enemy, from the conspiracy of the wicked. He talked about how they sharpen their tongues like swords and aim their words like deadly arrows. These people talk stuff, you know, and it's funny because, like, sometimes you'll pick up on things in TV shows or commercials. One thing I thought was interesting, I was watching a Visa commercial. And it's that same line of commercials where, you know, all the people are happy and they're using their Visa cards and the music's playing. And then somebody uses cash and there's like, where the record stops. And, you know, that series of commercials where they basically are just imprinting on your mind that you're stupid and you're holding everything up if you use cash, and everybody's going to beam their eyes at you like you're a doofus because you're using cash, you know, that line of commercials. But I saw one that actually had, it had the New Orleans Saints involved, and they had them using their cards, and then they put up on the screen, they're like, be a saint. And, you know, if you're just in an American dream perception land, you would perceive that, well, that's just a regular commercial, that's pretty cool, I like going to football games, and I especially like the Saints, cool football team, that was a good commercial. But, you know, those of us who are watchmen and those of us who are spiritually alert understand that that was a dig. You know, they shoot their words like deadly arrows. It's like, be a saint, you know. There's the Mark of the Beast system, the electronic system that's going to be used to control people. And they're aiming it at the Christians who supposedly aren't going to take the Mark of the Beast and get into that system. And they're like, be a saint. Use the beast system. You know, you can, you know, I know how that sounds. And you can sit there and say, oh, you're just reading into stuff. Okay. All right. That's the way you want to look at it. But it's just a little example of, you know, they sharpen their tongues like swords and aim their words like deadly arrows. They're only aiming at the enemy. And their enemy would be Christians. They shoot from ambush at the innocent man. They shoot at him suddenly without fear. They encourage each other in evil plans. Talk about hiding their snares, their traps, saying who will see them. They plot injustice and say we have devised a perfect plan. Interesting psalm. That's why I love the Bible. Because when you know how to understand it, and you just stop, you know, reading it like, oh, some stupid ancient text that was written, and it's written like poetry and, you know, it's just a little story and whatever. When you really open your mind and you read it and you see it, it tells the truth about our world. Let's move to Jeremiah chapter 11. It says, this is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Listen to the terms of this covenant and tell them to the people of Judah and to those who live in Jerusalem. Tell them that this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Cursed is the man who does not obey the terms of this covenant. The terms I commanded your forefathers when I brought them out of Egypt, out of the iron smelting furnace. I said, obey me and do everything I command you, and you will be my people, and I will be your God. Then I will fulfill the oath I swore to your forefathers, to give them a land flowing with milk and honey, the land you possess today. I answered, amen, Lord. The Lord said to me, proclaim all these words in the towns of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem. Listen to the terms of this covenant and follow them. From the time I brought your forefathers up from Egypt until today, I warned them again and again, saying, obey me. But they did not listen or pay attention. Instead, they followed the stubbornness of their own evil hearts. So I brought on them all the curses of the covenant that I had commanded them to follow, but that they did not keep. Then the Lord said to me, there is a conspiracy among the people of Judah and those who live in Jerusalem. They have returned to the sins of their forefathers, who refused to listen to my words. They have followed other gods to serve them, both the house of Israel and the house of Judah have broken the covenant I have made with their forefathers. Now see the difference there? See how it split up the house of Israel and the house of Judah? Judah. The Jews were Judah and Benjamin. The Israel was split between northern and southern kingdom. There were the 10 tribes of Israel who were to the north, and then there was Judah and Benjamin to the south. So it's kind of like all Floridians are Americans, but not all Americans are Floridians. All Jews are of the house of Israel, but not all of the house of Israel are Jews. Okay? There were 10 lost tribes, and we can get into that study later on. There's a lot of people out there who probably do a lot better job of explaining it than me, but that's the short side of it there. But it says, there is a conspiracy among the people of Judah and those who live in Jerusalem. Therefore, this is what the Lord says. I will bring on them a disaster that they cannot escape. Although they cry out to me, I will not listen to them. The towns of Judah and the people of Jerusalem will go and cry out to the gods whom they burn incense to. But they will not help them at all when disaster strikes. You have as many gods as you have towns, O Judah, and the altars that you've set up to burn incense to that shameful god Baal are as many as the streets of Jerusalem. Do not pray for this people, nor offer any plea or petition for them, because I will not listen when they call to me in the time of their distress. Why doesn't he listen? We would think that's pretty harsh, but actually it's not. It's because God has called to his people over and over and over again. He stands there with his arms outstretched to a stubborn people who won't listen. He sent his prophets and they stone them to death. You know, they kill the ones that are sent to them. The ones that are sent to them to tell them the truth, to bring them back in a proper relationship with God, to reconcile them. They kill them. They kill the prophets. Jeremiah 11:15. What is my beloved doing in my temple as she works out her evil schemes with many? Can consecrated meat avert your punishment? When you engage in your wickedness, then you rejoice. The Lord called you a thriving olive tree, with fruit, beautiful in form, but with the roar of a mighty storm, he will set it on fire and its branches will be broken. The Lord Almighty, who planted you, has decreed disaster for you, because the house of Israel and the house of Judah have done evil and provoked me to anger by burning incense to Baal. Because the Lord revealed their plot to me, I knew it. For at that time he showed me what they were doing. I had been like a gentle lamb led to the slaughter. I did not realize that they had plotted against me, saying, let us destroy the tree and its fruit. Let us cut him off from the land of the living, that his name be remembered no more. But, O Lord Almighty, you who judge righteously and test the heart and mind, let me see your vengeance upon them, for to you I have committed my cause. Therefore, this is what the Lord says about the men of Anathoth, who are seeking your life and saying, do not prophesy in the name of the Lord, or you will die by our hands. Therefore, this is what the Lord Almighty says, I will punish them. Their young men will die by the sword, their sons and daughters by famine. Not even a remnant will be left to them, because I will bring disaster on the men of Anathoth in the year of their punishment. God's got a charge to bring against his people. And he has done everything. He sent his son down here to tell us the truth. And they didn't like the light, because the light came on and everybody could see what everybody was doing while the light was on. And that light was Christ. And they didn't like it because he was exposing what they were doing. That they had taken the laws of God and twisted them and perverted them so that they could control the people. It's just like in Revelation where Christ says, you know, you have this in your favor, that you hate the teachings of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Nicolaitans, two words. Break that word up. Nico, which comes from the form of the word, which means to conquer, and Laitans, which is like the laity, the people. They conquer the people by twisting the teachings to their own advantage. And people don't like the light. And I guess, you know, I lived in darkness as well. I can understand why they don't like the light. But it leads to life. It's the only way that leads to life. If I have to, I'll be a missionary even to the Illuminati. There is nobody beyond the reach of Jesus Christ and God the Father to his glory. Nobody. God put out the call to everybody to repent for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. Cry out to God. Anybody can be saved. The blood of Christ can pull anybody from the deepest, darkest pit anywhere. Repent. Cry out to God for mercy. Call out with a loud voice to your God. Be reconciled. Be reconciled to the Lord. It brings peace in the end. And I don't care what anybody says. You can sit there and lie your butts off, but that's what everybody's looking for, is peace. So, let's go on to Ezekiel 22, another section that deals with conspiracy and this whole thing that we're talking about. It says, "The word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, will you judge her? Will you judge this city of bloodshed? Then confront her with all her detestable practices and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. O city that brings on herself doom by shedding blood in her midst and defiles herself by making idols. You have become guilty because of the blood you have shed and have become defiled by the idols that you have made. You have brought your days to a close, and the end of your years has come. Therefore, I will make you an object of scorn to the nations, and a laughingstock to all the countries. Those who are near and those who are far away will mock you, O infamous city, full of turmoil. See how each of the princes of Israel who are in you uses his power to shed blood? In you, they have treated father and mother with contempt. They break up families. They switch around the natural roles of God, where they put the woman up on the pedestal as if she's the illuminated, all-knowing one, and the man is just some dumb grunt with a remote control saying, where's my football game and my beer? And the woman's like running the house and she knows it all. Now, I got nothing against women. They have beautiful roles that were designed by God. They're nurturers. They're more emotional by nature so that they can nurture the children. They have beautiful roles. Our roles are just as important in the eyes of God. They're just different ones. But, you know, Satan's twisted it because he can get things done by uplifting the woman, you know, taking away her natural modesty and, you know, making her promiscuous, so that she can manipulate man through sex, because man has hormones and he can fall into that. It's all this twisting, and then the family gets all screwed up and all the roles are wrong, and they create a generation gap, you know, by advancing things so that the parents can't understand the kids and the kids can't understand the parents, and it gets all destroyed. I think that's what that part of that verse is talking. In you they have treated father and mother with contempt. And they shed blood, sending people to war over stupid things. In you they have oppressed the alien, the foreigners that come in. And they've mistreated the fatherless and the widow. You have despised my holy things. You hated them. You have wanted nothing to do with them. And you desecrated my Sabbaths. They didn't pay attention to the seventh day. No rest. They couldn't wait till they could open their businesses again so they could sell wheat or whatever it was. They just wanted to get back to business. And you are slanderous men. They all talk about each other. We don't think about that too much. Our whole nation is a nation of slanderers. We're all talking about so-and-so. We're busting on so-and-so. If we're talking to our friend, we're talking to our friend about some other person we know. Did you hear what so-and-so did? And yeah, I was like, you know, this and... You know how it is. I don't have to go through the role playing. You guys know. It's just everybody talks about everybody. And this sucks. It really stinks to have to bring all this stuff up. I just can't wait until God's kingdom is here and we have peace and we can love each other and we can do honest things and just get to digging into the universe and getting to know our God and all the wonders that he's made, instead of, you know, this preaching all the time, trying to, you know, tell people where they're wrong, but it's necessary. Because if you don't see where you're wrong, you can never make a change. In you are slanderous men bent on shedding blood. In you are those who eat at the mountain shrines and commit lewd acts. Those mountain shrines, those places of idolatry, those high places, pagan places of worship. In you are those who dishonor their father's bed. They sleep with their father's wives. In you are those who violate women during their period when they are ceremonially unclean. In you, one man commits a detestable offense with his neighbor's wife. That goes on rampantly. Another shamefully defiles his daughter-in-law, and another violates his sister, his own father's daughter. Incest. It goes on. In you, men accept bribes to shed blood. You take usury. Usury is excessive interest. You take usury and excessive interest and make unjust gain from your neighbors by extortion. Oh, that's a big one. That's going on all over the place. That's how the rich are getting rich. Credit cards, banks. Oh, I don't even want to go into it. It would just take too long. It's all around you. And you have forgotten me, declares the Sovereign Lord. I will surely strike my hands together at the unjust gain you have made, and at the blood you have shed in your midst. Will your courage endure, or your hands be strong in the day that I deal with you? There is coming a day, whether you believe it or not, whether you think you have all power on earth with technology, doesn't matter what hill you're standing at the top of, the day is coming. And he will make you see it and make you believe it. I, the Lord, have spoken, and I will do it. I will disperse you among the nations and scatter you through the countries, and I will put an end to your uncleanness. When you have been defiled in the eyes of the nations, you will know that I am the Lord. Then the word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, the house of Israel has become dross to me. Dross is the impurities that are like in gold when you heat it up, or in silver, in precious metals, when you put it like in a pot and you put a fire underneath it, and all those impurities, the gold liquefies and all those impurities float to the top. That's called dross. Son of man, the house of Israel has become dross to me. All of them are the copper, tin, iron, and lead left inside a furnace. They are but the dross of silver, because of the impurities. Therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. Because you have all become dross, I will gather you into Jerusalem. As men gather silver, copper, iron, lead, and tin into a furnace to melt it with a fiery blast, so will I gather you in my anger and my wrath and put you inside the city and melt you. I will gather you, and I will blow on you with my fiery wrath, and you will be melted inside her. As silver is melted in a furnace, so you will be melted inside her. And you will know that I, the Lord, have poured out my wrath upon you. Again the word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, say to the land, you are a land that has had no rain or showers in the day of wrath. There is a conspiracy of her princes within her, like a roaring lion tearing its prey. Remember we said in Proverbs 20 verse 2, the roar of the lion is like the king's wrath. A king's wrath is like the roar of a lion. There is a conspiracy of her princes within her, like a roaring lion tearing its prey. They devour people. They take treasures and precious things and make many widows within her. Her priests do violence to my law and profane my holy things. They do not distinguish between the holy and the common. They teach that there is no difference between the unclean and the clean. And they shut their eyes to the keeping of my Sabbaths, so that I am profaned among them. That's a big deal. People have just gotten to the point where everything's fair game. Oh, we can talk about sex, we can talk about this, it doesn't matter. It's all relative. No. You know, you don't mix the holy with the common. You don't mix the clean with the unclean. You keep them separated. You know, to quote The Offspring, you got to keep them separated. You know? They got to be separate. That's why, you know, if, for instance, let me think of a word here. Sick. You know? A lot of people are going around when things are, like, good or fun or something like that. They're like, ah, that's sick. You know? And they don't mean it's sick. You know? Or, like, you know, I just went, like, that car is wicked. You know, like, that's a cool car. That's a good car. Like, that's wicked. So now, when things are good, we say it's wicked. Now, when things are healthy and good, we say it's sick. You know? We're mixing good and evil, and words should be what they are. They should stay where they're at. That's just one little tiny small example. You can apply that to anything. We're mixing together holy and unholy, clean and unclean. We're actually flipping them around sometimes, and it just gets people mixed up. So it says her officials within her are like wolves tearing their prey. They shed blood and kill people to make unjust gain. Her prophets, listen to this, the churches, her prophets whitewash these deeds for them. They make excuses for them. Her prophets whitewash these deeds for them by false visions and lying divinations. Omens, seeing omens, interpreting signs, that's what divination is. They say, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. When the Lord has not spoken, the people of the land practice extortion and commit robbery with their business practices. They oppress the poor and needy and mistreat the alien, denying them justice. I looked for a man among them who would build up the wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land so that I would not have to destroy it. But I found none. So I will pour out my wrath on them and consume them with my fiery anger, bringing down on their own heads all that they have done, declares the Sovereign Lord. Let's jump on down to Isaiah chapter 8, starting at verse 5. The Lord spoke to me again, because this people has rejected the gently flowing waters of Shiloh, which means peace, and rejoices over Rezin, and the son of Remaliah. Therefore, the Lord is about to bring against them the mighty flood waters of the river, the king of Assyria, with all his pomp. It will overflow all its channels, run over all its banks, and sweep on into Judah, swirling over it, passing through it, and reaching up to the neck. Its outspread wings will cover the breadth of your land, O Emmanuel. Raise the war cry, you nations, and be shattered. Listen, all you distant lands. Prepare for battle and be shattered. Prepare for battle and be shattered. Devise your strategy, but it will be thwarted. Propose your plan, but it will not stand, for God is with us. The Lord spoke to me with his strong hand upon me, warning me not to follow the way of this people. Listen to this closely, people. He said, do not call conspiracy everything that these people call conspiracy. Do not fear what they fear, and do not dread it. The Lord Almighty is the one you are to regard as holy. He is the one you are to fear. He is the one you are to dread. And the good news, and he will be a sanctuary for both houses of Israel, He will be a stone that causes men to stumble. But for both houses of Israel, he will be a stone that causes men to stumble. Does that sound familiar? That's a prophecy about Christ. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. And what is that stumbling? They didn't pursue God through faith. They pursued it as if it were by works. Man was created on the sixth day. 6 days shalt thou work. Work, work, work. 666. They stumbled over the stumbling block as if righteousness could be gained by works. It's a righteousness that's revealed by God through faith. It's called humbling yourselves, realizing that you lost it, you couldn't gain it, you couldn't put the law back together again, you shattered it. And only Christ can do that. And then the realization of that, and God doing that supernatural work in your heart, planting those seeds. A tree doesn't work to bear fruit. It's a seed. It's planted in the soil. God makes it grow, and it bears fruit. It's a natural thing. But for both houses of Israel, he will be a stone that causes men to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. And for the people of Jerusalem, he will be a trap and a snare. Many of them will stumble. They will fall and be broken. They will be snared and captured. Why? Because they pursued it through works. They thought the cross was foolishness. They either went too far with the cross and thought it meant it was a license to sin, all the grace in the world, and you don't have to work. Or they went to the other side, thought it was foolishness, and they're like, you know, I'm going to sit there and be saved by a man who died on a cross. You know? They couldn't find the truth. Bind up the testimony and seal up the law among my disciples. I will wait for the Lord who is hiding his face from the house of Jacob. I will put my trust in him. Here am I, and the children the Lord has given me. We are signs and symbols in Israel from the Lord Almighty who dwells on Zion, on Mount Zion. When men tell you to consult mediums and spiritists, this is good because, like, this is what people are doing. This is a new age. Like, you know, psychic hotlines. You know, it's not even psychic anymore. It's remote viewing. Ooh, new name. Sounds less harmful, you know. Same thing. When men tell you to consult mediums and spiritists who whisper and mutter, dog whisper, horse whisper, should not a people inquire of their God? Why consult the dead on behalf of the living? To the law and to the testimony. If they do not speak according to this word, they have no light of dawn. Distressed and hungry, they will roam through the land. And when they are famished, this is probably spiritually famished, because they can't find the food of truth, they will become enraged, and looking upward will curse their king and their God. Then they will look toward the earth and see only distress and darkness and fearful gloom, and they will be thrust into utter darkness. Okay. Hopefully you guys got a good feeding through God's Word. And we made a couple little points here and there. But you did see how God talked about conspiracy and how they conspire together. But you also saw towards the end where God said, don't call everything that your countrymen call conspiracy, don't call it a conspiracy. Because it's not at all a conspiracy. You know? Yeah, conspiracies are going on. There's a huge amount of them. But you don't know which is which. There's a lot of confusion going on. Focus on the Lord. Don't worship the beast. Don't build it up into a mountain. Don't fear everything. The Lord Almighty is the one that we're to fear. He is the one who's holy. He's the one we're supposed to revere. I'm just trying to help you guys. I get torqued up sometimes, and I really don't mean to sound condescending or anything. So if I come off that way, please forgive me. I just get real passionate, if you guys listen to me for some amount of time, you'll just understand, you know, Amos is just getting torqued. Because I get passionate about this, and we just really need to hang in there. Things are getting tough. You know, there's a lot of things out there that could just confuse the crap out of us. But if we focus on the Lord and we stay in the Word and we stay in the Word and we read the Word of God and we read it and read it and read it and get really familiar with it, we'll know our God. We'll know Him so well that when a counterfeit comes along, we'll be able to spot it like that. Like a person in a bank who deals with money all the time. And I'm not likening God to money, but it's just a good example. Somebody who, you know, works in a bank all the time, and they just see cash all the time, and they deal with it. They're counting it. They feel it, you know. As soon as a counterfeit bill comes along, somebody who deals with the real thing all the time will know that's a counterfeit bill immediately because they're so familiar with the original. And that's what we need to do with the Word of God. We need to get in and read the Word. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. For it is by grace through faith you have been saved. Read the Bible. Read the Word of God. If you don't understand it, read it anyway. You don't feel like reading it, read it anyway. You don't think it's doing anything, read it anyway. Okay? Because it's doing its work. It's an amazing thing. If you have an opportunity, go out and get, you know, one of those CD, the Bible on CDs. And that way you can, you know, either load them up into iTunes or load them into your Zune program and put it on your the whole thing on your MP3 player, or you can listen to them on the CDs. But listen to the Word of God. It has made such a huge difference in my life. It really gives awesome understanding. Like, things will just open up to you. The more you put in on your physical hard drive, your brain, you know, the more the Holy Spirit can draw that out and bring it to your consciousness, and He'll help you make connections, and He'll teach you wisdom. It's an awesome, awesome, awesome thing. And God is awesome. But we are in the heat of the battle. We're in the last days, and we got to be faithful. We don't have to fear anybody. These guys who are doing these things in the world, they're playing a role, you know. They're placemats for the course that God has laid out before you to see if you'll keep your faith, you know. They're placeholders, they're props, you know. And He's laid out a marathon course for us, and we got to keep our faith, and keep praying to Him, keep in touch with the Spirit. Filled up with oil by reading the Word and being in touch with our Lord God, our Savior. Because, man, what's coming after this is going to be so awesome. You're going to understand why your faith had to be tried like this, because God's kingdom is going to be incredible. He says that eye has not seen, ear has not heard, and no mind has ever conceived of the wonderful things that God has prepared for those who love Him. You can't even conceive of it. Do you have faith in that? Can you believe that? Do you have enough faith in your heart to believe in God? Or has your trust been totally disillusioned and broken? You gotta stand for something or you'll fall for anything. I'm gonna close this out with a couple of poems here that I wrote. And this was during a time when I was going through all the research, but one of them has to do with Babylon. I named it Babylon the Beautiful, and it's let me just read it and let you guys make your own interpretations. Babylon, O Babylon, the city finds no sleep. She sits as queen upon the earth and slaughters all its sheep. Her merchants were the mighty men who plunder, steal, and kill. Justified by stars with stripes, they do just what they will. Money makes her world go round, she wields it like an axe. Under the guise of liberty, she deals out her attacks. She cuts down trees not her own, and plucks out all the root. Telling lies, she justifies, as she plunders all the loot. Who would dare to criticize and make her give account? She laughs at kings as she sings upon her righteous mount. Her lovers are the men of wealth who dwell upon the earth. Pregnant with democracy, she labors to give birth. Beautiful, oh beautiful, with amber ways of gain, can't you see your harlotry is the source of all your pain? You desecrate your heritage and glory in your shame. You trample on the laws of God to blaspheme his holy name. Fallen, fallen, north and south, is Babylon the Great. Mortally wounded, you struggle in death, but will not change your fate. Okay, let's go to the other one here. And this one I wrote because this kind of has to deal with what we were talking about and how not getting pulled into the rabbit hole, because, you know, the secrets are juicy. You know, they pull you in. It's all that curiosity. And what he's doing is he's pulling you in to disillusion you. The more you know, the more it's going to just totally bang on you. So this one's called Avoid the Coming Trap, Secrets. The secrets are sweet, like tasty morsels of fruit. They go down inside and poison at the root. You feel your desire stirred. You feel your need to know. This is the trap set for you. Into prison you will go. The medicine of knowledge acts as a virus to your mind. It clogs up all the arteries, so truth you cannot find. Do you know the difference between what's black and what's white? Do you know how wrong has been twisted into right? Black is white, and white is black. Which way did I go? Which way takes me back? Give me a reason, give me the dawn, give me a handle so I can hold on. The whirlwind is blowing, events all unwind. We think it's all natural, we don't know we're blind. Technology is growing, it's bewitched how we think. We cannot see the earth is almost on the brink. The peoples are oceans, they roar like the sea. Angerness is growing like a bitterness tree. Babylon is confused. They see words inside words. Their sanity is flying away with the birds. Everything is suspect. Truth is thrown down. Trust is a dying thought that never made a sound. We wanted to be random. We wanted to mess with minds. We wanted to be free to think thoughts of various kinds. Welcome to the world we made, where fantasy rules and realities fade. Drink the cup of mystery, drink all that you must know. Drink the cup of madness to the bottom of its flow. Curiosity killed the cat. Remember that. Alright guys, I'm going to end on that note. As much as I try, I am so long-winded. We are now at 59 minutes and 37 seconds. Craziness. Didn't mean for it to go this long, but I needed to get that out there. I just had to go on a couple little ramble-thons there. You know, kind of makes me feel better. I like to ramble. So we're going to end this up here. Let me just give you my contact information. Maybe one of these days, one of you guys will contact me and let me know what you think about the show. If you have any comments, either way, good, bad, up, down, left, right, send them to me. It's you can email me at truthstream@podomatic.com, truthstream.podomatic, or at podomatic.com. My website is the same thing, just truthstream.podomatic.com. And I've also got a listener call-in line, and you're welcome to call into that and leave a voicemail for me with any comments or any ideas on some upcoming shows that you might want me to do. That'd be a great idea. So you can give me a call at 206-350-0054. 206-350-0054. And I appreciate you guys listening, and hopefully we talked about something here that helped you out, because I know there's a lot of people out there just freaking out and getting trapped up in all this stuff, and you know, it might be fun to listen to in a way, but don't let yourself fall into the trap. The coming trap is secrets, and you see it everywhere. You see these National Treasure movies coming out, and the Book of Secrets, and secrets here, secrets there, secrets everywhere. It's a master of intrigue. You're warned by Daniel in the scriptures. He's going to seize the kingdom through intrigue. He's going to pull people in. And the goal is disillusion, breaking your trust, so that you think everything's a conspiracy. Even the Bible, even Christ and his apostles, they were all pulling a conspiracy. Everything's a conspiracy, man. He's just releasing the flood. The dragon's releasing the flood from his mouth, and he's trying to sweep the woman who are God's true believers, trying to sweep them away. So you guys just stay cool. Drive that spike, that anchor down into the rock, which is Christ, and hold on for the ride. Because 2008, I got a feeling, is going to be a ride. So buckle in. I love you guys, and I'll be praying for whoever is out there. God knows who you are. I don't, unless you email me. Boy, I'm sounding like a nag, aren't I? Anyway, just wanted to thank you guys for listening. I appreciate it. You guys give me an avenue to bear some fruit and serve. I really do appreciate that. And God bless you. I'll be praying for you. I pray that you guys will be praying for me, that God would protect me and give me wisdom, that I would speak the truth. Most importantly, that I would speak the truth, because, you know, when you get a platform like this and you got people out there, you don't want to be leading people astray. That's the most important thing. It's a huge responsibility, of which I'm all too well aware of. So, anyway, let me cut this off now. Thanks for listening, guys, and until our next broadcast, we'll check you later. Peace out.